Will you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. In our scripture reading today, we continue to read through the Sermon on the Mount, which runs from the middle of chapter 4 in Matthew all the way through the end of chapter 7. Today's reading is part of Jesus' instruction on the way of life in the kingdom of God. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. No one can serve two superiors. You will either hate one and love the other, or be attentive to one and despise the other. You cannot give yourself to God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about your livelihood, what you are to eat or drink or use for clothing. Isn't life more than just food? Isn't the body more than just clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet our God in heaven feeds them. Aren't you more important than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a moment to your lifespan? And why be anxious about clothing? Learn a lesson from the way the wildflowers grow. They don't work, they don't spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in full splendor was arrayed like one of these. If God can clothe in such splendor the grasses of the field, which bloom today and are thrown on the fire tomorrow, won't God do so much more for you, you who have so little faith? Stop worrying then over questions such as, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear? Those without faith are always running after these things. God knows everything you need. Seek first God's reign and God's justice, and all these things will be given to you besides. Enough of worrying about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Today has troubles enough of its own. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can't serve God and money. Life is about more than possessions. Birds don't plant, harvest, or store in barns. God feeds them. Worrying won't add a single hour to your life. Don't worry about food and clothing. God knows you need all these things. And don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough troubles of its own. Work for justice and you won't have to worry about the rest. These are all familiar words. I know I've spoken them before, and not just in Bible study, but in real-life conversations, too. We've probably all echoed these words of wisdom from time to time. But how often do we really stop to think about what Jesus might have meant? And how to live so that our lives reflect his wisdom? How we live our lives tells the story of what we truly believe, whether we stop to ponder his words or not. In preparing this message today, as I wrestled with the text, I came up with some questions. What does not worrying look like? And how are we to put Jesus' words into action today? Now, I could have benefited from meditating on these verses this past summer. Moving here to Denver with my family was cause for a whole host of worrisome problems. But it isn't too late, because we'll be moving again this summer. We don't know where. And I'll have plenty of opportunity to put not worrying into place then. But it seems to me that it's a little more complicated than that. I mean, how do we tell the difference between harmful worrying on one end of the spectrum and harmful apathy on the other end of the spectrum, with an appropriate concern somewhere in the middle? I mean, shouldn't I put thought and effort into our upcoming move? After all, there are many things which have to happen, and in the proper order. We have to pack the house, rent a truck, register the kids at their new schools. Alexis has to find a new job. We have to cancel utilities in one place and set them up in another. We have to file change of address and forwarding information. A whole list of tasks. And not taking care of these things could lead to real consequences, both for me and for my family. There's plenty of opportunity to fret and worry and obsess over and lose sleep over the tasks required to move your household. It's enough to give anyone an ulcer. But it isn't so simple as just ignoring everything either. I can't just say, oh, God is in control, everything's going to work out all right. I mean, the house isn't going to pack itself. It's like the joke, I know you've heard this one, where the town begins to flood, and the man scrambles to his roof to escape the rising waters. And in spite of the dangers, he's confident that God will not let him perish. So when a boat comes by and offers him help, he says, no, thank you, God will save me. Well, two more boats come along with the same result. And eventually, he's washed away by a raging torrent. And in heaven, he meets God and says, God, why didn't you save me? And God says, I sent three boats. Apathy and worry surround all the things that we do. And somewhere in the middle is an appropriate amount of concern. Of course, moving your household is only one problem, only one cause of worry. When we think back on our lives, the things that we remember, whether they're fond or painful memories, are all things that came with their own set of reasons to worry. Getting an education, marriage, children, work, retirement, illness. All of these things come with their own opportunities and causes for worry. Think back on your life. Where have you struggled with worry or anxiety? If you're like me, you don't have to think back very far to remember a situation that was cause for worry. For me, it was this morning before the service started. I'm worrying right now about this message. Life, it seems, is full of opportunities to worry. Today certainly has enough trouble of its own. Perhaps another way of understanding it would be to say, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not has to be one of the most often repeated commands in the Bible. In a quick search on my computer, I pulled up over 130 verses that say, essentially, do not be afraid. Angels tell Joseph not to be afraid. Angels tell the shepherds not to fear. After he calms the sea, Jesus tells his disciples not to be afraid of him. Of all the verses in the Bible, these are some of the most familiar and the least obeyed. Fear and anxiety have become accepted modern ailments. You might say they are a part of our culture, with books written on the subject and movies made. Ever heard the term Prozac Nation? Fear and anxiety are certainly a part of our economy. Over 10% of Americans are prescribed antidepressants annually. And last year, we spent over $11 billion on drugs for anxiety and depression. Now, I'm not suggesting that Jesus is condemning anti-anxiety medications, but I do think that medications for anxiety and depression, as thankful as I am for them, are treating the symptoms of fear instead of the causes. So, how then should we live? Addressing the causes of anxiety and depression means, as a people, as a culture, as a world, we need to shift our focus from the means of living to the author of life. So, how do we do it? Just a few moments ago, we sang the song, Seek Ye First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Along with our scripture reading today, this song proclaims the great truth that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. When we focus our efforts on doing good deeds, we find that happiness is not so far away. But here again, we must be careful. Not all who seek, ask, and knock receive, find, and have doors opened for them. We like to think that those who do good get good, and those who do bad get bad. But this is not always so. Yes, God wants us to be happy, but it would be a mistake to think that if we are not prosperous, that we have somehow displeased God. Our relationship with God is not a simple input-output relationship. Yeah, ask and you will receive, but the answer you receive might be not yet, or simply no. Seek and you will find, but you may find something unexpected. Knock, and doors will certainly be open to you, but others will close. If Jesus means that those who follow his ways have all their needs met, history has proven him wrong. To suggest that God always gives us everything we want simply for asking is to turn God into some sort of cosmic vending machine. This actually turns the message that Jesus spoke this morning, turns it around. It puts the cart before the horse. It says that those who are prosperous are blessed by God, and the poor and marginalized are being punished by God and ignored by us. And this is just not so. So another thing needs to be said here. Solomon, in all his glory, may not have matched the lilies of the field, but that is cold comfort to a mother who lacks food or clothes for her children. These words of Jesus have been used by some in positions of power as a way of keeping others down. Some have used these words to instill a false sense of sacrifice and piety among the masses while they live in opulent luxury. By no means is Jesus sanctioning oppression. His command to not worry about food or clothing is not meant for those without food or clothing. It's meant for those who have more than the basic necessities. It's not to worry, to be concerned about how you will feed your children on $100 a month. It's not worrying to be concerned about going to work in the cold when you have no coat. But Jesus' words here are about more than not worrying. His words are a call to justice. Striving for the kingdom of God means seeking justice for all. In the most basic sense, this means ensuring that everyone has food, clothing, and shelter. A familiar passage from the book of James comes to mind here. If any are in need of clothes and have no food to live on, and one of you says to them, "Goodbye and good luck, stay warm and well fed," without giving them the bare necessities of life, then what good is this? Jesus' own words, a little later in Matthew, in a parable he's speaking, are even stronger. Jesus says, "The ruler will say to those on the right, 'Come, you blessed of my Abba God, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was ill and you comforted me. In prison and you came to visit me.'" According to Jesus' own words, entry into the kingdom of God requires these things. Jesus insists that participation in the kingdom of God requires us to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give drink to the thirsty, and visit the sick and imprisoned. The difference between the birds and lilies and us is that God provides for us all directly. But only humans engage in the way of unequitable distribution. When the poor cry out to God, their answer to prayer ought to be us. The prevalence of poverty and the seemingly inexhaustible supply of those looking to make a buck at the expense of their sisters and brothers is enough to discourage even the most passionate among us. But I am encouraged whenever I see people making strides towards justice. Now, history may yet prove me wrong, but I believe a new reign of mercy and justice is dawning right now. All around the world, it seems that people are putting aside their differences and standing together against oppression. From those defending workers' rights in Wisconsin to protesters ousting dictators in the Middle East. While true and lasting strides toward the kingdom of God are few and far between, I believe the arc of history bends towards justice. And finally, I'm reminded of the song by Bobby McFerrin, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You remember that song? Now, these words can sound shallow and frivolous and even unrealistic, but the point is that when we seek justice, our worries fade. If the goal is to be without worry, then medication can easily take care of that. But that would be replacing one master for another. Wealth and chemical dependency are harsh masters. But Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Recognize who governs the cosmos. Continue with the awareness that God is creator. Work for global peace and justice. Align yourself with those working to hasten the day when all creation rightly sings the Creator's praise. This is how we seek the kingdom of God. Now, I had planned to close by singing Bobby McFerrin's song, but don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, so you can be happy about that. Instead, I will leave you with this prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.